Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. He ran into the bedroom, but he was struck down. It was his doom. It's Micah.
Yeah, you're pulling up a...
He's been struck by a smooth criminal.
That was my introduction to this band.
That was everybody's introduction to this band.
I think it was. What a good song that was.
Yeah, it's one of those cases where the cover is better than the original.
You know, I think it is.
100%.
As much as I like Michael Jackson's music, I do think that that...
Could they do a better Dirty Diana? No.
I would agree.
Criminal, I mean, they killed it.
Yeah, Dirty Diana is... I feel like that is a... That song doesn't get enough respect, I don't think. Because when you think about Michael Jackson, you go Thriller, Smooth Criminal, maybe Black and White, Bad, Beat It.
Yeah, no, it was one of their less well-known...
Billie Jean.
One of his less well-known songs, which I think, honestly, is probably why they were able to, like, remake that song for people to be... Like, it is a fucking great song. But I think, like, you couldn't remake Bad or Beat It. You know what I mean?
You couldn't just cover them
and have it be bigger than the
That's
Michael
true.
Jackson
those,
version.
Those are iconic, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Smooth Criminal was in a good... That's a good level of iconic, but also it's not his best music.
Exactly.
You know, so covering that, you go, okay, yeah, no, this is a solid cover.
And also they fucking nailed it.
They did.
And I think it plays after listening to this album. It makes sense why they picked that song, because I think the cadences of that song really fit well with the way they play.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So, crew, we're going to be getting into Alien Ant Farm today, which I'm really excited for. I low key, as the children would say, love this band. I don't really talk about it much, and I always hope that they come out with new music and that I love the new music. Unfortunately, they're one of those bands for me that I really liked their first two albums, and then beyond that, there's maybe a track or two that's solid, but it just doesn't do much for me beyond their first two albums.
They lost the juice.
I guess. And we can talk about that too. Which is kind of a bummer, right? It's kind of a bummer to have a band. I don't know if you've got any bands that are like that, Thor, where like maybe their first album or their first couple of albums
hit really hard.
Really? AFI lost the juice for you after their first couple?
I just don't love the later albums. Just not my style of music.
Well, they're still making music too, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure it's bad. I'm not interested in that.
See, yeah, for me, AFI, Sing the Sorrow was peak AFI.
Okay, I mean, honestly, off the top of my head, I'm not sure which songs are on that one. I would have to listen
that
to it.
That song has, or that album has, like, what follows me as who out his place, oh, what swallows.
That's kind of right. That, like, kind of changing phase is kind of where I stop liking them.
Yeah, because so. Before...
Like, I could probably listen to that album, but probably nothing after that.
So before Sing the Sorrow was their Art of Drowning album.
Yeah, Art of Drowning is fine.
Art of Drowning was solid. Yeah. That was my introduction to AFI. I really liked that. But then, man, when Sing the Sorrow came out. Anyway, we're not talking about AFI today. We want to talk about Alien Ant Farm. But before we get into that, I have some adult speak that I got to get into, Thor. One of these things that we got to deal with, Thor, as we
adult
grow up.
Adult speak? Okay.
Yeah.
Hemorrhoids?
Thankfully, no.
Okay.
Not for me, anyway. But it's real boring shit.
Life insurance.
It's... has to do with our car.
Okay.
So my wife does these jobs called Boomerang Transit, which is basically she takes jobs. It's kind of like an Uber type of thing, but it's specifically for transporting people who need to go to medical appointments.
Okay.
Who don't have rides.
Okay.
That's what it's for. So she'll do these every now and then. And she was in the middle of doing one. Actually, she had just started a couple of days ago, and I get a text from her saying, my car isn't accelerating past 62 miles an hour. I'm like, well, that's a problem. So I called our, you know, our local garage that we normally take our car to see, is this something that we need to just, you know, go to the garage immediately, or can she finish her job and then take it in? What's going on? And he, of course, the guy's like, I really don't know what to tell you, man. Like, I don't want to tell you, yeah, it's fine. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm like, understood. Got it. Yeah. You don't want me to sue you. I get it. So with that being said, she ended up just canceling her appointment and taking it to the garage. And it turned out that some bearing in the engine broke off or broke, and the entire engine needs replaced, Thor. The entire engine of the car needs replaced. Now, the possible good news is that it looks like this is a warranty thing. So we have a Kia, and it looks like Kia has a, what do they call it when they have to recall something? Is it just a recall when they need to like bring your car in and change something out? And it turns out it's the engine that a lot of these, I don't know if it's just our make and model. We have a Kia Sportage.
Yeah.
But the engine on many Kias is being recalled. So we called our local...
Because bearings are breaking and destroying the entire engine?
I guess so, yeah.
That's cool.
So we called our local Kia dealership, because the garage that we take our stuff to is like, hey, here's all the paperwork that says basically this is under warranty. So take this to them. They shouldn't really give you any argument. So we talked to our local Kia dealership.
What did fucking Kia say?
Yeah. Well, so fucking Kia was like, all right, so it sounds like it's going to be under warranty, but we got to look at it. The only problem is we've got about 6 other cars right now that we need to look at the engines because they're under warranty with the exact same issue that you're talking to us about.
You know, you think if you're making an engine or you're making a car, I get maybe cutting corners here and there, but you'd think engine and brakes are probably the two you make sure are pretty
like
squared away.
Really, really work. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Something to get you there and something to stop so you don't die. Yeah. So it turns out a whole bunch of cars are already at the dealership for what seems to be the same problem. So they can't look at our car for a month. And they also can't give us a rental because...
All their rentals are rented out.
All their rentals are rented out. So we talked to another local dealership in Harrisburg area. And they're like, well, we can look at you in about a week. Like, fine. Sounds great. So we had it towed there. So the car is there now. But they also don't have cars for rentals because of the same exact issue. They have three instead.
That's fun.
In front, yeah. They have 3 cars ahead of ours with that similar issue. It's so wild, Thor. Now, the good news about this is, one, I think it's going to be able to be replaced without any cost to us.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully. Yeah.
So that's exciting. And then we'll just have a new engine in a car, which that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. It'll be great.
You know, so now that car is going to last a lot longer.
Yeah, as long as the bearing doesn't break and destroy it.
As long as the bearing doesn't break, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Vehicles, man. Am I right?
Well, because, I mean, they're Kias, so it's probably like plastic pieces. They're basically Tonka trucks.
I've never had any issue with a Kia. We've owned 3 Kias. I totaled one. Like, in my bad car wreck, that was driving a Kia. I owned that car for like 2 weeks, and I totaled it. Then I bought my Dodge. But yeah, dude, just having to deal with that is annoying.
Yeah, it stinks.
Thankfully, I'm not working right now because I teach, so we don't really need 2 cars.
Yeah, that's a positive, yeah.
So, yeah, if I was in the middle of the school year, I don't know what we would do. Well, we'd just borrow a car from my family
Fucking
member.
Kia, if you're listening, we know that you
and
are.
And we know you are, Kia. You probably have us on the radio stations.
Get your shit together.
Get your engines together first, and then get your shit together. Because we need our car back. Jeez.
Fucking Kia.
Fucking Kia. All right. Anyway, Thor, you want to talk about Alien Ant Farm? You want to talk about some fun 2000s pop rock music?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, crew, so today we are going to be discussing the Alien Ant Farm album, Truant. Now, last week, I said some things that were inaccurate, Thor.
Okay.
And I need to fix this. So last week I said that Truant was their second album. I was incorrect. It is their third album.
Okay.
Their first album was one of those albums that doesn't really count. And then they came out with Anthology.
Like self-produced or
yeah,
something?
Okay. Type of thing. Yep. And then Anthology came out. That was the album with Smooth Criminal. That was the one that made them hit big. And then Truant was the album after that.
Okay.
So it was their second album that I became aware of. Evidently, it was their third album. Also, last week, I need to correct this as well. We were talking very briefly about remix albums, and I said Meteora for Linkin Park was a remix album. Mm-hmm. I was incorrect on that. I was thinking of the album Reanimation, not okay. Meteora. Meteora is their second like actual album, but then Reanimation was a remix of their first album, Hyperbury.
Okay,
so now that I've gotten all of that out of the way and you guys can quit yelling at me. Truant is the third album. It was released in 2003 by the band Alien Ant Farm. Looking at their Wikipedia, they've got the genre listed as punk rock, nu metal, post-grunge, and hard rock.
Okay.
I don't know how much of that's super accurate, but this came off the tails of their super successful cover of Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal. And with this one, there are no covers on it, and I really feel like last week I said that I felt like this was where Alien Ant Farm really kind of found themselves as a band.
Okay, yeah.
So the lead singer is, what is his name? I'm pretty sure that his name is Dryden or Drayden. Let's see. you hate those names? So yeah, the band members are Dryden Mitchell. He's the lead singer. There's Terry Coso, Tim Pugh, Mike Cosgrove, and then past members are Ty Zamora and Joe Hill. I would imagine that Ty Zamora and Joe Hill are the ones that are actually playing on this one because these guys just released an album like last year or the beginning of this year.
Okay.
I listened to it.
Really? They're still making music.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not bad. There are a couple of songs on the album that I like, but it's got a different vibe, so I don't know. Something that struck me as I listened to this as a middle school / high schooler was it was just fun kind of rock music.
Yeah, I can see that.
The lyrics are very tongue-in-cheek, but I just really enjoyed the vibe. I really enjoyed the energy of this band growing up, and Truant was the album for me. So, Thor, with that said, you know, what's your overall thoughts on this?
My first impressions listening to this is a little bit more like punk influence than I expected. I see why they say that, because it definitely has. It was definitely not what I was expecting.
Oh, yeah.
I
guess
in some cases it was, but it was definitely a little bit more kind of like punk influence than I expected.
Did you have any preconceptions going into this just based on only listening to Smooth Criminal?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more. I don't even necessarily. It wasn't like mind blowing what it sounded like. It all kind of made sense based on the time period.
Okay.
It was a little bit harder than I expected, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I thought it'd be a little bit more softer.
Okay.
But here's my biggest issue with this album.
Oh boy.
And So the problem that Alien Ant Farm has is nothing can live up to Smooth Criminal. So I'm not saying I didn't like this or anything like that,
okay.
But I'm saying like nothing can live up to just how huge that song was and how good that song was.
Sure.
It's still like it comes on the radio today, and you're gonna fucking listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that's the biggest problem this album has going for it, is it's not Smooth Criminal.
Is that it's not the cover from the last album that they did?
Yeah.
I can understand that. Yeah. And that kind of sucks as a band, just for any band that does that.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely a one-hit wonder. And honestly, I think I don't say that with any negative connotations.
Sure.
It's just you can't live up to what that song did for them. And hopefully it made them a bunch of money and gave them the opportunity to just make shit that they liked for the rest of their life.
Sure.
Yeah. That's my hope. I think that's honestly probably like, because if the guys from Alien Ant Farm walk down the street, I would not recognize them. You know what I mean? They get to live in anonymity.
Sure.
And still probably have like a cult following and like a loyal fan base from that. I think that's what you want as a musician, is one or two big hits.
They hit the sweet spot.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Not too big so that they can go out in public and maybe
you want to be Taylor Swift. You know what I mean? Like, you can't live a normal life.
Sure.
Like, sure, you have all the money in the world, but what good is it when like, you can't go anywhere without being just like mobbed by people.
When you have to be wheeled to your stage in a broom, like in a janitor's cart. Cause yeah. I think that's how she enters her.
Yeah. I think it's like a trade-off. You know what I mean? Where it's like, sure, you get to make a ton of money and be the most famous person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes at a cost. So what I'm getting at is I think Alien Ant Farm is kind of in that sweet spot where they probably have a loyal fan base. They got to have one big hit.
Sure.
It's probably all you need.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, so that's on as far as like the album as a whole, you say it doesn't really live up to the expectation of that one song or the success of that one song. What do you think about the album though?
I enjoyed some of it. There are a few okay, here's my other, like, my biggest
problem. Oh, okay. Second biggest gripe.
Yeah, my second biggest gripe. I actually really like a lot of the music in this.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of the singer.
What? What are you talking about?
Like, not that he doesn't sing well. Okay. He sings well. I just don't love that style of singing where every song is kind of like, like, I don't, it's just like a whiny kind of like high-pitched sing through most of it.
Okay. All right.
Because of that, like, I just overall, I didn't love a lot of this.
I see.
Just because I just don't necessarily love that style of say. It's kind of like pop punky, like high pitched whine singing, which I don't love.
And
not all the songs, but
in a similar category to something like Newfound Glory?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't see that, but.
It's just too whiny for me. And not that he's singing whiny lyrics, just the tone of his voice. Yeah, the tone of his voice is kind of like a whiny tone that I don't love. I think he's a good singer.
I wouldn't have gotten whiny.
Not to take anything away from his singing.
Sure.
I just didn't, just for me, my vibe, I didn't love it.
Okay. All right. That's very interesting because I actually...
And the songs that I really liked on this are kind of the ones that get away from, like, because I feel like they have a bit of a formula for their music.
Mm-hmm.
And the songs that I like are kind of the ones that are, I feel like, kind of step away and kind of see them branching out into, like, other musical directions.
Okay, so part of the reason that I recommended this one to you, right, and not their first album, because the first album has Smooth Criminal, you feel like that would be the one to recommend.
Yeah.
Is this one, I do feel like they kind of branched off a couple of different times to try different styles. And I felt like you would appreciate that.
Yeah, I did. And those are the songs I think stuck out for me. The one is called Glow.
Yeah.
I really like Glow. That's kind of like a,
Glow's
just a
so
fun,
much fun
poppy rock song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
With so many innuendos.
I didn't catch that. Honestly, I didn't have a ton of time with this album.
Sure.
I listened to it probably like 2.5 times maybe.
Okay. Yeah, so the lyrics to the chorus is, I'll be the switch she turns on, she'll be mine too, I'll get off. I'll be the fuse that she blows.
Okay.
And even with the lights out, we'll glow.
Okay.
So there's a whole lot of sexual innuendos there.
Okay, and I thought so, but I was like, wasn't entirely sure.
That's one of my favorite songs on this album.
I think it's great. I also like Tia Lupe.
Solid song. Yeah.
Which definitely has like a kind of like,
it's got like Spanish influence
yeah,
into it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys are a little out there, I think. So you said you were listening to this on YouTube. The song These Days off of this album was one of their singles.
Fun, yeah.
Dude, so one of the things that I love about this band is just their vibe.
Dude, they're fun. That's the thing you kind of can tell the whole way through this album is they just seem fun. They seem like fun guys to be around and they're just trying to have a good time, which I appreciate.
Yeah, 100%. So they took a nod from the Beatles and they're like, hey, let's play on a rooftop in the middle of a city, except they took it one step farther.
Yep.
All right. So they showed up on a rooftop and at the entry point of the BET Awards in like 2000.
Yeah, the third annual BET Awards. Yeah,
and just start crashing the party by playing a freaking concert right in front of the BET Awards building. And the music video is amazing because you're seeing all of these characters from like early 2000s.
Yeah, like P. Diddy and Nelly and 50 Cent.
Yeah.
And you're even seeing Kim.
You're seeing like James Brown and Queen Latifah, just all these people looking up at these crazy white boys. Like, what are they doing? And you could tell that they were having a really good time.
And the song These Days is definitely a harder song, probably closer to like a nu metal type, like definitely one of their heavier songs on the album.
Yeah. And you could just see that they were like these crazy white boys. But they were also really enjoying it, at least based on the influence or the images that were in the music video. And I just think it's so cool that they were like, you know, we're just going to crash the BET Awards.
Yeah, and I love the music video ends with the news report of the guy being like, the police came and eventually broke it up. And it's like the lead singer being walked away in handcuffs.
Yeah. Like, that's so fun.
Yeah,
oh, it's
very
so
fun.
Cool.
And also, I actually like that song, too. I like the lyrics in that one a lot where it's like, it's kind of weird where it's like, hey, these days things are good and so are you. Like, let's make something. Let's work together. Like, it's a weird thing to write a song about.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole song is about like reaching out to somebody to like work on something with them. And then they're playing it at like a BET Awards, like with these rappers. Like,
sure.
I think there's a lot like it has. There are like levels, like multiple levels. Like when you take the lyrics of the song in context of like where they played it, like there are multiple levels to it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's, I would agree. And I don't know, that song, that music video encapsulates, I feel, the reason that I like this band. I just love everything about what they do. A weird thing with the lead singer, Dryden is his first name.
Yeah.
Don't
remind me.
He had this. Have something against the name Dryden. You should have named your firstborn that, man, instead of what you named your kid.
It sounds like, if I had to guess, his dad read like fantasy novels or something, or his dad played D&D. It sounds like Dryden is the name of like a half elf ranger.
Yeah, I could see that. So the lead singer, he had his hair buzzed, but he had like a shaved, so it's not long enough to be middle parted, but he just has a shaved line up past his head, like his hair was middle parted, but it's just shaved. And that's the hairstyle that he had.
He has a goofy, like he has a fun face. I'm saying goofy in the, like, he makes fun facial expressions. Like, once again, these guys just seem fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. They're just like a fun band. And then there's, so in, I think it was the music video that you looked at. Was it for Glow? Was it the one where they, all the,
it's so funny, like all the appliances, like the fridge and the microwave and the toaster are like dancing around and talking to them.
Yeah.
And singing with them. Yeah.
So in that music video, he has a little mohawk, like a tiny little itty bitty mohawk where it's just this tiny little thing and the rest of his head is shaved. And I saw the first comment on the music video to that on, or at least the one that I watched on YouTube, was this guy's haircut is the exact opposite of what it is in all the other music videos. It just made me chuckle. But
yeah, he rocks a reverse mohawk usually.
Yeah. Yeah. But they, They do some wild things. So fun fact about the Alien Ant Farm music video for Smooth Criminal, that cost them so much money because of all the extras, because of the stunts, and then they had to go back and do a bunch of reshoots because they wanted to okay everything with Michael Jackson himself. Uh-huh. With that, and there was like some things where Michael Jackson was nitpicky about, and so they had to go back and reshoot.
At that point in time, people were still worried about what Michael Jackson thought.
Yeah, right.
Like, this guy has a really good reputation. We better make sure it's cool with him.
I think there might have been some like mutterings, like, maybe this Michael Jackson guy, maybe he's a little... But yeah, I don't think that the allegations have just like jumped through there. Man, I'm sorry. I really Joe Biden that part of my speech. Sorry, guys. We're fresh off the heels of the debate.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't know what Micah said there. I don't think he knew either. Anyway, let's go on.
So, I wanted to bring up some fun... Well, maybe fun's not the right word. Some trivia about the band, because I feel like you might enjoy this.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll enjoy this. You'll find it intriguing. It's not a positive thing.
Okay, I'll like it then.
I'm bringing the depression to you this time,
Thor. Oh,
yay,
nice.
Yeah. So after the anthology album and while they were going and touring for that, they were recording their other album, Truant, which looking at it online is for sale for $30 on eBay. I don't know who's going to pay that. It's ridiculous. You can just listen to it for free online. But their tour bus... got into a really bad motor vehicle accident.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like a really, really bad one. I think that the bus driver fell asleep at the wheel. And they ended up crashing. The bus driver died. And the lead singer broke his neck.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
And had to end up getting a halo brace for an extended period of time so that his neck could heal. Are you familiar with what a halo brace is, Thor?
Yeah.
So do you know how those are affixed to you?
They like screw them into you, right?
They screw them into your skull.
Ooh.
Yeah. So for those of you who are unaware, it's basically, and the reason that I know so much about this is because my dad did prosthetics and orthotics for his career. So he would have to put these on people. And he would tell me stories when he would put these on people. He would go, you can numb a person up pretty well. You never numb up somebody enough for this. Like, they always scream when you're putting that in them.
Oh, jeez.
Like, isn't that a horrible thing to say?
Yeah.
Just to, like, have to do to a person? So, basically, imagine a big plastic brace going around your shoulders with a hole for your neck to fit through, and then two metal rods on the right side, and then it's called a halo brace because it's a metal ring that is kind of wrapped around your head
and then drilled into your skull.
Yeah, dude,
that's fun.
Yeah. So that you can't turn your head, and there's two that go in the front and one that goes in the back. And yeah, so the lead singer had to have that done, and then the other band members had like broken bones and stuff, but the lead singer by far
that's gotta be wild. Can you imagine you're just like asleep, you know?
Probably.
I mean, you're sleeping on your tour bus, you're just sleeping,
yeah,
and then
something like that,
you're awakened by being just fucking tossed in
right
a van. Like, that's insane. Yeah,
yeah. Just a weird, crazy...
So is he recovered now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that he has some type of lasting repercussions from it. But yeah, dude, they've made, I think, 3 or 4 albums since that one. Because they made a third one. That one was called Up in the Attic. And that was okay. And then they came out with another one after that around the time of, I don't know, like 2012-ish. And again, that one was okay. Then they came out with one around COVID time. Everything else past Truant, I really don't feel like it's hit the same way. That one was just awesome. But yeah, I watched a little video about it, and the lead singer's like, yeah, I didn't really like find God or anything from the accident, but you know, I am looking at life a little bit differently. Which, you know, that makes me chuckle. These guys are evidently pretty close to Papa Roach.
So, I could see that.
So
yeah.
they
were both like super famous, well, super popular around the same time.
Yeah.
So this is the Cut My Life Into Pieces era. Well, Smooth Criminal was anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So with that, they evidently made a pact because they're both from the California area that like whichever one gets famous first, because they both, I guess they were at the point where they're like, we're going to get famous. So whichever one gets famous first, we're going to help the other band out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so Papa Roach, I think, like hit it big right before they did. And I think then Papa Roach recommended some producers and stuff to Alien Ant Farm to get them going, which is kind of a cool thing. I'm not, yeah. I've never really been a Papa Roach fan, but that's a pretty cool thing to do just as a camaraderie aspect or, yeah, or looking sure. at it from there. I think that that's kind of cool. So with that, Thor, I don't know, were there any other tracks that like really jumped out to you? You said that Glow.
A couple of the ones in the Rubber Mallet, SS Recognize, those ones, okay. those ones I like a lot. Cause they're definitely like still heavier and like sure. kind of more of the new metal, genre, mm-hmm. but I like the musicality of, I like the musicality of all of this. They do a lot of like really cool kind of like syncopation changes. Okay. I love their guitar player and their drummer.
Yeah.
They do a lot of really cool syncopations, and the guitar player is all over the goddamn place. He never just plays like a standard chord progression.
Sure.
He's always kind of like moving up and down the neck as he plays. And I think Rubber Mallet and SS Recognize, which are song 10 and 11, I think they really like kind of showcase that the better. So honestly, kind of like the back half of this album, I like.
Okay.
More like I liked Glow, and These Days, I think both those songs are really cool. I really like Tia Lupa, Rubber Mallet, SS Recognize.
Okay.
Those are the ones that really stood out to me. And honestly, a lot of this, I think maybe if he sang differently, I would like it more. And
that's
and once
so
again, it's just more so not that it doesn't fit, not that he's a bad singer. I yeah. just don't necessarily care for the way he sings.
That's so cool. That's so weird, because I actually really like this guy's voice. When I think about this guy's voice, I think that he's got a whole lot of natural talent as a singer.
Yeah,
and
for
it,
sure.
And it makes
definitely.
Me, it 100%. Makes me like really appreciate his vocals.
Oh yeah, he's a great singer for sure.
So you're recognizing that, you just don't care for the sound of his voice.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just not my style for whatever reason. It just doesn't.
That's a wild stance to take, Thor. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm trying to think if there's any other situation where I would take that stance, like any other bands or anything like that. Opera, maybe.
What about like Jimi Hendrix, right? Like, can you appreciate like his talent without necessarily loving it?
So when I think about Jimi,
you don't necessarily strike me as like a huge Hendrix fan.
No, I'm not. But I recognize him as a good guitar player. But it's not necessarily for me.
Exactly.
But it's different with a voice, though, I feel like, because that's a weird disconnect that you have there with the sound of the voice and the style that they're singing.
Well, no, because I love the way he sings in Glow, where it's a little bit more toned down. It's less
okay.
less it more of a lower vocal range he's singing in.
Interesting. Okay. We're gonna have to talk about this a little bit more. It's just strange to me because I feel like if you like this, if you. So you don't like the sound of his voice. Do you like the way that he sings? Or is that the reason that you don't like his voice?
Yeah, I don't like the way he sings.
Okay.
Like I said, I recognize that it's good.
So you recognize the talent there, you just don't, it's just not your
yeah,
area.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just okay. not my cup of tea. I don't love that style of singing. It reminds me a lot of like early 2000s kind of like indie scene band or emo scene bands, like pop punk type bands. It, like I said, it's just kind of like too high pitched. Every song kind of like the way he sings kind of feels like. I don't know, man.
Doesn't Alien or doesn't AFI have that though too? That's
especially as they got like in the later.
Definitely
years.
As
yeah,
they got
sure.
later. Yeah. Yeah. And that's when you started to like them
yes,
less.
Yes. Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I guess.
Like I said, I don't have anything negative to say about it. I think he's a great singer.
Sure.
He seems super fun. Just for whatever reason, it just doesn't speak to me.
Doesn't just, yeah, it just doesn't vibe with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's fine. I guess that's fine. I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with it at all.
That's fair.
But that's fine, I guess. I don't know. I also am looking at this with a little bit of nostalgia and,
sure. Yeah,
you know,
I get that.
And you're not. So maybe my rose tinted glasses are affecting how I'm looking at it too. Cause admittedly, when I try and look at later stuff from these guys, it just doesn't do it for me. You know, there are a couple of songs here and there, but for the most part, I'm like, nah, I'll just go back and listen to these first two albums. And usually I'll just go back to this album.
Okay.
Usually that's the case. But, yeah, that's very interesting to me. Did these guys like strike a chord with you that they resonated as far as, did they remind you of anybody, or did they kind of, where would you put these guys as a genre? Or
my gut instinct was to call them nu metal.
Okay.
I don't think that's exactly right, cuz I'm also not super like versed in that world.
Sure.
So, but I definitely, Papa Roach makes 100% sense. Not that they necessarily sound alike, but they definitely have.
Does Papa Roach fit in that category too of nu metal?
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
Cuz when I think of nu metal, I normally think of bands like Korn or
okay.
Flaw. I don't know if you remember that band at all.
And once again, and like I said, I could be wrong too in calling it that. I'm sure there's somebody listening like, no, they're not. They're or whatever, you know. But they definitely fit into that early 2000s hard rock, like popular hard rock kind of genre.
Yeah.
Lost Prophets, I would put them
kind of. As much as I enjoyed their first album, You can't put anybody with Lost Prophets.
Yeah, musically of that first album.
Sure, okay, yeah. All right. Musically of the first.
But, it's kind of this like.
Even their second album was pretty solid, but then their lead singer had to go and be a weirdo.
Yeah. Just be. Yeah. I don't even want. Yeah, he's a
creep.
fucking disgusting person. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, so it's kind of like that era of music, even like. Although it's a very different vibe, like this, I would see on a playlist with like Papa Roach, Lost Prophets, Linkin Park, Incubus, just kind of that early, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that.
Popular rock.
I could see that. I did kind of fall into that pretty hard with that era, that time frame. I remember distinctly weird scenario. There was a girl, when Smooth Criminal came out, there was a girl that was in my homeroom class, and she was surprised that I liked Alien Ant Farm, because she goes, oh, Micah, you like skater music?
Oh my God. Actually, yeah. Skater music. Perfect. The skater music, for sure.
Perfect. Yeah. There you go. Skater music. Alien Ant Farm. Yeah. I wish that these guys were doing stuff that I really enjoyed. But unfortunately, I do think that they were a product of their time.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about this before, is I like when musicians change a little bit, and I haven't listened to any of the other music, so I don't know if they've changed, but like, I think you should grow as an artist.
Agreed.
And I think naturally what will happen is it will be for some people and it won't be for others.
Sure.
You know? So
yeah,
I mean, I think it makes sense. They grew and you grew. And so like you and Alien Ant Farm share a special time when they made this music and you really connected to it.
Yeah.
I think your paths diverged, you know?
Yeah, that's depressing to think about when you put it that way, because that was very like poetic and meaningful and deep.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to that, Thor. I'm not used to that. Yeah, I just think about these guys as like a fun band, but they did hold a special place in my heart for a while. Well, and I think that the time jump between their second,
I have a similar thing with System of a Down and Toxicity. I don't like their other albums.
Yeah.
But nothing of their music will ever speak to me the way Toxicity did, because I just have just that it sounded like nothing else. It's just that time of my life and when that music came out that it's just like that album will hold a special place in my heart forever.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair. Dude, System of a Down, I listened to Toxicity recently. That album holds up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's so good.
I had Kendra listen to it. This was a couple years ago at this point, but she had never heard, like, a lot. I played Aerials for her. And
what
she
an
was,
amazing
and
song.
And she was like, this is fucking cool. And I'm like, yeah, this was, like, a life-changing album for me. Like, it sounded so different from everything else, you know?
Yeah, I really did enjoy Mesmerize and Hypnotize, though.
Yeah, they're good. I like those a lot. Yeah.
So I was just looking up the... like the time frame of their albums that they came out with. And so Anthology was released in 2001. That's the album with Smooth Criminal. That song or that album went platinum probably because of that song.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then Truant, the one that we're discussing today, came out in 2003. So 2 years later. And then the next album was called Up in the Attic. That came out 3 years later in 2006. And then after that, 2015 was the next album.
So do you think, when was that bus crash? Do you think it was after the third album?
No, the bus crash was like in between their first and their second.
Oh, wow.
Or between
okay.
Anthology and Truant.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if they had recorded Truant and were touring with that before the album came out. And that's okay. When the bus crash happened. But this album came out. And then I was like, oh, wow, these guys were actually in a really bad vehicle accident from there. But it gave the dude some gnarly scars, so that's cool. Chicks dig scars, right, Thor?
Too bad you didn't cast a protective ward, Dryden.
He does sound like a wizard.
He does.
He does sound like a wizard, 100%.
He also has a girl's middle name. His name is Dryden Vera Mitchell.
That's interesting.
Or is it too last name? Because nobody else has their middle name. But that's like on Wikipedia what it says is Dryden Vera Mitchell.
I'm pretty sure that...
Dryden, if you're listening, and we know that you are.
We know that you are.
You sound like a wizard. Your name sounds like a wizard with a girl's middle name.
Transgender wizard.
You non-binary wizards. I'm tired of these non-binary wizards flooding my country. Go back to Narnia or wherever the hell you came from.
Go back
Stop
to
stealing
Narnia?
Our jobs.
Narnia. All the,
tired of these non-binary wizards.
All the non-binary
the
wizards.
The government just giving them money.
Running away from Aslan.
And then coming over, casting their spells, causing all kinds of crimes.
Getting into bus wrecks. Psychopaths. Come on, man. We're not too far away from 4th of July. Bleed red, white, and blue, crew. I don't really know if I have much more to say about this band, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, they hold a very special place in my heart.
I like the artwork for the album.
Dude, I could go on for days about their logo. I fucking love their little ant head logo.
For sure, yeah.
I think it's so cool. It's such a fun little graphic.
And super recognizable.
Yeah.
Like, even had we not done this, and had I just seen the logo yesterday or something.
Mm-hmm.
And without even like having thought about them in years, I would immediately recognize it.
You know what's weird is that may have actually made a big impact on me as far as why I even got into the band as a teenager.
Okay.
Because like, visually, I have always been a visual person. Like I've been drawing and doing artwork longer than I've been able to speak. So like those are very powerful motivating factors for me, powerful driving factors for me. And I've always loved their logo, even as a teenager. So that might have done something to it, or as far as made me like jump into them as a.
Yeah, I could see that. For sure.
Yeah, because I am 100% the type of person who will judge a book by its cover. Oh yeah. So here's the lead singer right here. There's his little halo scars right there. Boom, boom.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Look at that. So.
He got fat.
Well, yeah, that happens when you get older. I think he's kind of thick as he gets older.
Yeah, fat wasn't fair. He definitely thickened up though.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was the bass player at first because he's a bigger he's like a tall, like gosh, what's the word?
He has density.
Burly, tall, burly guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this guy's the bass player. And the bass player, their bass lines are amazing, I think,
for
personally.
Sure. The guitars and the bass are sick. They, like I said, they do a ton of syncopation changes, and they're up and down the fretboards, doing a bunch of like weird scales and stuff like that. It's really cool. I love musically what they do.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's Alien Ant Farm. That's our review of their second album / third album, Truant. Thor, I don't know, man. If you had to rate this on a scale of 100 alien ant farmers, where do you think that you would land?
Probably like 75 alien ant farmers.
All right. I can't be upset with that. That's fair.
It was a good, I enjoyed listening to it. There was never a point where I was like, oh, I want to turn this off, or I like actively don't like this.
Sure.
Not my favorite thing. It's not going to be like my favorite album of all time, but there was definitely a lot of like highlights and I was listening to it and I'm probably going to listen to it a little bit more. Cause there was a number of parts where I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're doing like musically, they're doing, a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of really intricate stuff.
They experiment a lot in this album, I feel like. And I think that that's something that they did not do in their previous album. Which anthology was good, but it was more of These Days and SS Recognize. It was basically harder just about all the way through. With this one, they added a little bit more variety and used a little bit of different genre influences, I feel like, in their music.
Yeah, and that's stuff I really enjoyed. I really liked that stuff. So I think this was a... If the other album was more of just like solid heavy stuff, this is probably the correct pick then. Because
yeah,
that is the kind of shit I enjoy. I like people who branch out and take risks musically.
Yeah, and that's definitely this one. Again, their first album's fine, but this is where they hit the stride. I really feel like that this is the peak Alien Ant Farm. So there you have it, folks. Truant by Alien Ant Farm. You say 75 out of 100?
75 out of 100 alien ant farmers.
Alien ant farmers. So what do you guys think? Are you from California? If you guys are from California and you have any experience with this band, I would love for you to get a hold of us. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Threads. You can find us on Facebook. And you can also send us an email at getwreckedpod@gmail.com. Thor? How do we spell that?
That's G-I-T. recdpod@gmail.com. Send us your recommendations. I'm running out of stuff to give Micah.
Well, it's a good thing, too, that you guys are going to be sending, because we know you will. Because, Thor, it is your turn, I think.
It is. I have a movie I saw just a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's a Nicolas Cage film.
Oh, no. Is it a good Nicolas Cage film, or is it like a not great Nicolas Cage film?
It was interesting.
Okay.
I didn't necessarily love it, but I thought it was a interesting concept for a movie.
I have a guess.
Okay.
Is it the movie that's like something about the undeniable pressure or weight talent?
The unbearable weight of astonishing talent or something like that.
Yeah.
It is not that one.
Oh, okay.
Although I did watch that too. That one's more fun. That one's like a action comedy with him and Pedro Pascal.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
That one was actually pretty fun, but I don't know if there would be a ton it would be as interesting to talk about.
Okay.
So this one, it's available on Max, and it's another one of these movies that he's done recently, kind of like a smaller budget film, and it's called Dream Scenario.
Okay.
I'll give you a quick plot synopsis. Essentially, thousands of people in the world start having this weird phenomenon where they just start dreaming about this guy. Everybody just keeps seeing this guy in their dreams.
Huh.
And the guy is Nicolas Cage. He's playing basically like a college professor.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden people just start dreaming about him.
Huh.
And he kind of becomes like a celebrity. Like, weirdly.
So he's a person and people just start dreaming about him in this town?
Like all over the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. And nobody knows why.
Okay. That sounds kind of fun.
So it's not, I think it's like an hour and a half long. It's not a super huge long film. It's kind of like a weird dark comedy, I guess, probably is how I would describe it. Like,
I do love me some dark comedies.
Maybe a black comedy. Like, it's not like super, it's not super dark like that, but it's really not. It's one of those the situation of what's going on is funny.
It's funny.
As opposed to like, there's not like it's not, witty one-liners.
Sure.
And stuff
it's
like
not
that.
Slapstick or anything like that.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting, it was an interesting watch. Okay. So yeah, well, let's go with that. And I believe it's available on Max.
Okay. All right. So there you go, folks. Dream Scenario starring Nicolas Cage. We're going to be getting into that next week. I'm kind of intrigued. I think this is the second Nick Cage film that we've done. I forget what that first movie was that we did.
Prisoners of Ghostland.
Prisoners of Ghost. That's
which
what it was.
You know what's so funny, actually, thinking back to that? Because we watched that with Zach Bolton and
McCrary. Yeah.
I think that was the first time we had guests on.
I think you're right.
And we watched that together. And I remember after we watched that, I was like, this is like the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then we've gone past that bar so many times
so
on this show.
So many times, yeah.
Whereas like, it seems so like cute now compared to...
Sure.
Where like, oh man, this movie was wild. And it was. It was silly. It was fun.
Yeah.
But like, we've gone past it like just so, so far.
And recently we've gone past it so far. Yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
I'm all about some lightheartedness. But dealing with Tetsuo, the Iron Man, I guess Night Watch was fine. But
yeah, I didn't feel like that movie was particularly like strange or anything. I just thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, agreed. All right. So next week we are getting into Dream Scenario starring Nicolas Cage. Sounds like you can find it on Max. You guys should watch it. And then next week, come back and listen to us talk about it. Send us some messages. Let us know what you think. Until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked.
Oh, it's a shorter episode. It kind of feels nice.
Now we can go play Elden Ring.
Now we can go play Elden Ring.